This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Anthony Catalano. Anthony's the National Cyber Lead of Private Equity at RSM. RSM is probably the most deeply entrenched middle market private equity servicing firm in the country. A lot of quality of earnings, a lot of diligence, a lot of work in and around the private equity space. Anthony, can you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Thanks again, Scott. So again, my name is Anthony Catalano. I've been a director here with RSM for about 4 years. And previous to working as the national private equity lead, I was actually the national cybersecurity transformation lead. And one thing that we focused on was identifying organizations' current state of cybersecurity and then really giving them a roadmap and a path over the course of 1 to 3 years so that it could actually take their cybersecurity from where it was to where they needed to get to.
And talk to us a little bit about, in cybersecurity and private equity deals, what are you hearing today? How does that play into diligence, you know, today versus years ago?
Absolutely. So I think there's really two key themes that are going to resonate. One is that cyber activity continues to remain at an all-time high. You know, we see a lot of ransomware activity out there. We see a lot of nefarious threat actors out there. And really, that activity has just continued to escalate throughout the few years. And at the same time, we've seen the cyber liability insurance game actually start to shift dramatically here in the last year or two. And we can cite some specific examples. But, you know, one thing to note is that we used to review cyber liability insurance policies for clients. And those policies were usually about a page of questions, maybe 5 to 10 questions max. And some of the most recent cyber liability insurance applications that I've reviewed have actually been about 6 to 10 pages long. So the diligence from the cyber liability insurance carriers has really spiked up dramatically.
And when somebody's buying a company, how does the cybersecurity play into their diligence? What are some of the things you see today?
So it's really interesting, you know, in diligence deals a few years ago, cybersecurity kind of took a back seat. And now it's really front and center. And we've actually seen some deals closing. And before they actually closed, they asked us to provide our cyber services and actually bill in full for those services. And they're actually doing a clawback on some of those deals in order to get cybersecurity implemented into the deal cost. So we're actually seeing that become very much, you know, front and center to deals these days.
Is there a spot in cyber, when you look at companies today, particularly you're working in the private equity world, so many of the companies are founder-owned or even in their first sponsor, what's the continuum you see out there of cybersecurity sort of practices? Is it a true bell curve? Do you see things that are still very much not very protected versus protected? What's the sense of what you see out there?
You know, that's a great question. Generally, what we're seeing is organizations that are kind of on the lower end of cybersecurity capability. They're really just starting to get the basics of a cyber security program in place. And we call that the minimum viable security product here at RSM. So what are the minimum components to any cyber program? And in general, we see most of those are missing. So generally, we like to see policies and procedures in place that articulate the intent of the cybersecurity program. The next thing that we like to see is consistent vulnerability scanning or penetration testing. So it's not just doing this type of activity one time. You have to do it on a continuous basis and really measure whether the organization is getting better or worse. And in recent years, we've really had a heavy focus on incident response and business continuity. And those are two key initiatives that are really missing from a lot of private equity deals that we're observing in the last, I would say, 6 to 12 months. So organizations really need to focus on beefing up their incident response capability. So how they respond and recover from an incident quickly. And what is their capability from a business continuity perspective? I think one thing that's missed is with ransomware. If an organization gets ransomware, they can pay to decrypt the ransomware and get their data back. But that process often takes a week to 2 weeks to actually decrypt the data that's been encrypted and restore normal business operations. Some organizations actually opt to not pay the ransom and attempt to restore from backup. And there's two components to that. The first component is that modern ransomware variants actually target and destroy backup architectures. They don't encrypt them. They actually entirely destroy them. So the organization, it makes it very hard for the organization to recover their backups. And in the event that they do actually have viable backups and they attempt to recover those, that process can also take 1 to 2 weeks. So in either scenario, an organization really faces extended periods of downtime. And if they're not well prepared from an incident response perspective and a business continuity perspective, they're going to have quite a few issues.
Fascinating. And talk about this business continuity and business resilience versus paying the ransom. How close are companies to getting to that business resilience standpoint where maybe they don't have to pay the ransomware? What's your sense of that continuum that's out there?
I would say 60% of companies are ill-prepared to actually respond and be able to recover on their own without paying the ransom. So I would say the vast majority of companies are not in good standing with being able to recover from a potential ransomware incident.
Got it. And are there certain verticals or certain industries that ransomware and cyber attacks are more prevalent in than others? And are there certain that are more prepared than others? Any sense of what you see out there in your sort of, you know, overview?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, during the pandemic, we actually saw a significant uptick in ransomware activity against life sciences and healthcare organizations. And we saw that because we knew that the hackers understood that those organizations were somewhat under duress during the pandemic, especially healthcare organizations. So they were actually a prime target. So during the pandemic, they were actually targeted more heavily. And, you know, with any healthcare organization, their first priority is never cybersecurity. It's keeping patients alive. So, you know, as they try to establish that balance between where they allocate their monetary resources, do we try to take care of patients or do we improve our cybersecurity program? Naturally, that's going to come in second. So we see healthcare really struggling to get on board with having robust incident response capability. And again, you know, something else to note is that healthcare organizations have very complex infrastructures. This is not a manufacturing facility with, you know, a single network or two networks to manage. This is a health system with potential research components, medical device components. There's a lot of different moving parts in the healthcare industry. So they really struggle along this continuum. However, we have seen a strong focus, I would say, in the last year, with healthcare organizations really wanting to get better at this and really applying a lot of effort towards improving their incident response capability, as well as their logging and monitoring capability, so they can actually detect an attack quickly and hopefully shut it down.
Fantastic. And what are you most focused on and excited about this year? When you look at this year, Anthony, where are you most focused and excited?
I would say I'm really excited with organizations' opportunity to really improve their logging and monitoring capability. I think incident response plans are getting better. Organizations have a strong focus on that. We do a lot of incident response tabletop sessions with our clients where we actually walk through a potential ransomware scenario. We find out how they would react and how they would respond. But ultimately, I think the improvements in logging and monitoring have really come to a point in the marketplace where they can be easily consumed by healthcare organizations, life sciences organizations. It's an easier point of entry for those organizations to actually obtain those services now. Previously, a full-blown security operations center was an extremely expensive proposition, and the costs have actually come down to the point where the market will consume those more easily. And we're actually excited with that enhanced capability and how it may impact organizations' risk posture.
And take one moment and tell us just a little bit about the practice at RSM.
Yeah, so RSM is a full service cyber provider. So we actually provide cyber services on the testing front. We provide services on the compliance end, so HIPAA, PCI, HITRUST. We have our security transformation practice. So again, we can identify how an organization is today. And what we really specialize in is marrying their business goals and their cyber program together. Quite often organizations say, hey, we need a robust cyber program, go build stuff. But what we do specifically is we marry the business objectives to the actual cadence of the cyber program. So we can actually help them improve based on what the organization actually needs and not what popular cyber protocol would dictate in the industry.
Now, without mentioning client names, tell us the equivalent of a haunting bedtime story, a haunting, a horrible cyber story. Tell us horrible cyber story. RSM may have been the heroes that cleaned it up, but give us a horrible cyber story.
Well, there's quite a few of them, unfortunately, in the last few years. But I can tell you, we have. I can tell you, we had a specific client this winter, and they had hired us to be their virtual CISO. We had signed the engagement, and we had our kickoff call on a Friday, and I was going to be their virtual CISO. And we had spent several months setting up this program and determining what components would be in that. And RSM actually recommended, prior to the virtual CISO starting, hey, you really need to get EDR capability. EDR capability is what helps organizations stop ransomware. It's like an antivirus system on steroids. So we had made that recommendation. Again, we kicked off our engagement on a Friday. That Saturday night, I got a call from their network team saying that they had gotten ransomware. And that was 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. By midnight, we had their entire executive team on the phone, and I had to make the determination as their 24-hour-old virtual CISO that they needed to shut down several parts of their North American infrastructure and actually completely isolate those. So we actually had to shut down entire network segments. And I remember at about 1 o'clock in the morning, we came to the conclusion. I asked the question, I said, do we have any viable backups? And there was this deafening silence for about 10 seconds. And the network team came back and said, our backups have been encrypted and we don't have any backups. So now we're in a scenario where the organization has had to shut down multiple parts of their infrastructure and they don't have backups. And it actually took that organization about 6 weeks to completely recover from that type of an attack. So if there's anything that I would recommend for anybody listening to this podcast today is make sure you have good backups and make sure they're isolated.
Isn't that something? I tell you, just really an amazing situation. There must be so many of those stories. You could call them cyber horror stories. There must be so many today. And we hear them in hospital systems all the time. We hear them in sponsored companies all the time. I want to thank you, Anthony, for taking time to join us today. Anthony Catalano, he often serves as the Chief Information Security Officer on an outsourced basis, just a brilliant person who spent his career in the cyber area, which is such a much a bigger part of diligence and concern for all of us than it was 10 years or longer ago. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Scott.